Arlen had been outside in the naked night many times, especially in Fort Crasia, where he was the only outsider ever to dance Alagai Sharak. This time, though, there were no Dal Shroom warriors at his side to help him if something happened. He was on his own.
Nothing new there.
He lit a slow-burning fire at the center of his circle so he might easily find his way back in the darkness, and affixed a torch socket to the end of his spear. He slung spare torches over his back in a loose pack he hoped would soon be full of Bahavan pottery. Finally, he took up his round shield, painted with the same defensive wards as his circle, and stepped over the barrier. As he left the circle, Arlen took what felt like his first full breath since sunset. He knew it was all his imagination, but it seemed as if the air tasted better outside the circle, cooler and sweeter. It felt good to reclaim a bit of the world Corlings took from man each night. He made his way to the stairs, moving the torch this way and that, carefully scanning for any sign of demons, always ready to defend or flee. It was a difficult climb. The steps were irregular, with some too narrow to put his entire foot upon, and others where it was several paces to the next step. Sometimes the path was nearly level, and other times it was a steep slope. He imagined the Bahavans had very strong thighs. To make matters worse, the Dal Shroom had ransacked most of the lower tiers for materials to build their blockades. Broken pottery, furniture, clothing, anything not built into the walls was piled on the streets to slow any Corlings on the way to Crasian ambushes that threw them over the narrow side wall and down into the pits below. Arlen ducked low, using the cover provided by that wall, as he climbed and glanced warily out into the night sky. Wind demons could drop like silent stones from a mile in the sky, snapping their wings open at the last instant to sever a man's head, snatch him in their hind talons, and take back off without ever touching ground. He had no doubt one could pick him off the walls if it spotted him before he caught sight of it. By the fifth tier, the blockades ended and the home seemed intact, but Arlen continued to climb despite the burning in his thighs. Master Dravazi's workshop was said to be on the seventh tier, for there were seven pillars of heaven and seven layers to Ni's abyss. Arlen tried to fight back a giddy smile as he gained the seventh tier and saw the master's name carved into the archway of a large building. He scanned the area again, but there was still no sign of sand demons, and the wind demons seemed to have flown far off into the night. A ragged curtain hung in the doorway, likely meant more to hold back the ever-present orange dust than for privacy or security. There was no need for such in a hamlet as small and isolated as Baha. Arlen eased up to the doorway, pushed the curtain aside with the edge of his shield, and thrust his spear into the darkness. The torch cast flickering light over a room filled with pottery. Arlen could hardly believe his eyes. The work lay stacked, prepared for a trip to market some 20 years ago that had never come to pass. The pottery was covered in orange dust, making it the same color as the walls and floors of the buildings, but it seemed intact, even after so much time. He reached out a tentative hand, and his fingers left lines in the dust, revealing smooth lacquer and brightly painted designs that shone in the torchlight. One room, and it contained more riches than he could possibly carry. He dropped to one knee, setting down his spear and shield to remove the backpack. He scanned the smaller vases, lamps, and bowls, deciding what to take. He would carry a few pieces back to his circle to examine while he waited for dawn to come, and then return for the rest. He slid a delicate vase into the pack.
What?
He grabbed his spear and brought up the torch. Forgetting the pottery, Arlen snatched up his shield, stood, and slowly turned towards the sound. A sand demon must have followed him into the room, stalking as quietly as it could, but unable to quell the animal instinct in its throat. Arlen turned a slow circle, holding his torch out far and scanning the room, but there was no sign of any demon. He gave a sudden start and glanced upwards, but there was nothing above waiting to drop on him. He forced himself to keep looking. He would have missed it, but for that sound while his torch happened to be in the right place. It seemed a plain adobe wall at first, but then part of the wall shifted. There was a demon there. Even staring right at it, the corling was almost invisible. Its armor was the exact orange of the clay and had the same rough texture. It was small, no bigger than a medium-sized dog, but it was compact in a way that spoke of powerful bunched muscle, and its claws left deep grooves in the adobe walls. Arlen had never seen the like. He wondered if the shield's wards would even hold against this new breed of corling. Wards were picky like that, each made to block a specific type of demon. There was some overlap, but nothing to gamble one's life upon. The corling wriggled slightly, tamping. Then it uncoiled and launched itself at him.